An international relations expert and deputy majority leader in parliament, Rashid Pelpo, has described the political transition in Libya as a process and not an event. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Pelpo said that like the beginning of every democracy, Libya would have to pass through the democratic mill before it fully integrates itself into the committee of true democratic nations.
The election proved that Libya has effectively transited from what it used to be. But what it does not fully transform from is the anger that is piled up among the people. Presently, there is a very big shift in policy, political administration, and political outlook from the people of Libya and their leadership.
Right, Honorable, but this is 60 years and this is the first time democratic election is taking place in that country. Let's look at it this way. Do you believe that the democratic path can be sustained in a country that has witnessed one man at the helm of affairs for a very long time?
Unless we look at democracy as an event, we would say that there will be a difficulty which might not be easy to surmount. But if we see democracy as a process of political transformation, then we can have that. With all the problems Libya is facing today, with 100 political parties, with people still having pent up anger against the system because they think that they were dominated, these are symptoms of a transformation and headaches you will likely face when people are losing their old grip on power and what they know to be the status quo before the transformation. So we have here a difficult transition, but it does not mean that it can't be managed. There is a high possibility that this transition can be managed. There's a high possibility that these people will come to realize what it is to be in a democracy, and that in the end, it will be a question about sharing, which at least the constitution has taken care of. And sharing also means that free choice of your leaders and free association and all the freedoms that are associated with democracy.
Using post-Saddam Iraq as a case study, do you believe Libya will be better off economically?
Definitely, yes. Economically, there may not be the kind of comparison we are talking about, because even though economy is very fundamental to the two countries, Libya and Iraq, the two come from different traditions, types of upheavals that generated what we are seeing today. In Iraq, it was about a coalition of countries coming to defeat Saddam Hussein and humiliated him and drove away his people, and the people went underground and are fighting even now. In Libya, the people rose against the system supported by the international community who were acting as proxies. And the Libyan people themselves overthrew their government and established a democracy. The two are similar because of the kind of revolution that we saw, because they are ripple violent. But the possibility is that Libya will be healed faster than in Iraq, because in Libya, you have the people themselves who took over power. They outlawed foreign intervention. They wanted it themselves. And so they can quickly address their domestic problems more easily than that of Iraq. Peace and development go together, and development will be sustained. And so if Libya and freedom and peace earlier than Iraq, the very likelihood is that Libya will have a better development strife than Iraq.
On the 10th anniversary of the AU, which falls today, Mr. Pelpo says though the AU is yet to fully gain ground, the success chalked by the organization cannot be discounted.
The AU has achieved something. When Libya was in this difficult moment, you remember the AU sent a high-powered delegation to Gaddafi to talk to him. It means they are gradually surfacing among the Committee of Nations as a voice that can be listened to. The AU can also be recognized because today it has a parliament, even though it's not functioning as a fully legislative parliament. Beyond that, AU has forged a charter, and amongst the issues that are discussed there are the need for democracy and governance. These are very fundamental and transformational in the way the OAU used to be. So the AU has achieved a lot. But again, it is a process. We are going through a transition into establishing an AU which can be called a government of Africa. And we are not there yet, but we are setting the standards and we are setting the ground for a future launching.
Mr. Pelpo, who is currently in China with the first Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Du Ejiahou, at the instance of the leadership of China's parliament, believes the visit will be mutually beneficial to the parliaments of the two countries.
We are meeting the party leadership of People of China, the Chinese Party, the parliamentary leadership of China, and we discuss a few things about Ghana's development, the cooperation between China and Ghana, and we also talk about the position of our government vis-a-vis China in world development affairs, and especially Africa. So Honorable Draja, who was welcome in that country, and it was a very, very useful visit.
Right. So, Honorable, before you go, how is the meeting going to be beneficial to Ghana's parliament?
It's cooperation between us and China. And China is a newly emerging country, you know, a developed country. And we are going to learn from each other's experience. And so that's where I want to end it. At the end of the meeting, we won't be able to make concrete statements about it.
That was an earlier interview I had with the Deputy Majority Leader in Parliament, Rashid Pelpo.